William Collins presents On the Origin of Evolution, Tracing Darwin's Dangerous Idea from Aristotle to DNA, by John Gribbin and Mary Gribbin, read by Charles Armstrong. Evolution in a Nutshell. The process of evolution by natural selection requires that living things reproduce, making copies of themselves, but that the copies are not quite perfect, so that there is variety in the next generation. If that variety makes some of those offspring more successful than others at reproducing in their turn, for whatever reason, the characteristics that make them more successful will spread among subsequent generations. They will be selected. But in order to take part in the selection, you have to live long enough to reproduce, and if you live longer and reproduce more, all to the good. This has led to a neat one-line summary of Darwin's theory. Dead animals have less chance of reproducing than live ones. Or, if you prefer, live long and prosper. Preface. Exploding the Darwin Myth. The scene is a study in a country house in a Kent village. Over the past 20 years, the man sitting at the desk has been quietly gathering evidence to support his revolutionary theory about the origins of life. Only a few close friends know about his work, and he's not yet ready to announce it to the world at large. The post is brought in by a servant. One particular letter catches his eye. Although securely fastened, it is travel-stained and has clearly come a long way. He picks up a paper knife, opens the package, and begins to read. The knife, forgotten, drops on the desk. He feels dizzy, heart pounding. He has been preempted. Some unknown plant hunter on the other side of the world has somehow stumbled upon the same great idea. There is nothing for it but to abandon any claims to priority and accept his fate as a footnote to history. If only he had published. That, at any rate, is more or less the popular myth of how Charles Darwin discovered that Alfred Russel Wallace had independently developed the theory of evolution by natural selection. And it's more or less wrong. In that popular myth, Charles Darwin was a lone genius who spent decades puzzling over the origin of species in his secluded country retreat before a eureka moment when everything fell into place and he saw what nobody else had been bold enough to see, that species evolve. In reality, by 1859, when Darwin's great book on this theory was published, the fact of evolution was widely accepted and had been discussed seriously by scientists for decades. Darwin's special contribution, though, was to explain the mechanism of evolution, the process of natural selection that enables individuals that are better suited to thrive and produce offspring, while those that are less fit struggle and leave fewer offspring. But even this was not a unique insight. The same idea occurred independently to another naturalist, Alfred Russel Wallace, and Darwin was forced to go public with his idea sooner than intended, when he received a letter from Wallace setting out the idea. That much is true. It's a sign of how insidiously the popular myth has spread that even a respectable historian of science working at the University of Cambridge could write, as recently as 2009, that when a letter arrived from an unknown collector in Malaysia, Darwin realised that other people were thinking along similar lines. Protected by his allies, he warded off this potential rival and rushed into print with On the Origin of Species. Wallace was not an unknown collector, but a naturalist in his own right. He created collections and sold them to fund his travels, because, unlike Darwin, he was not lucky enough to have inherited wealth. He was a regular correspondent with Darwin and had published scientific papers on the species problem, one of which appeared in print in 1855 and prompted Darwin to mention in a letter to Wallace that I can plainly see that we have thought much alike. When Darwin realised just how much alike, his instinct was not to ward off his rival, but to let Wallace publish and take all the credit. As we describe in Chapter 6, it was Darwin's friends who had the inspired idea of putting together a joint scientific paper under both their names, to present the idea of natural selection to the world at large and ensure that credit was shared. By 1859, evolution by natural selection was an idea whose time had come. And if neither Darwin nor Wallace had come up with it, somebody else very soon would have. Perhaps Wallace's friend Henry Bates, who also features in our story.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?